Everybody.
Morning.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we come and turn to your word, we claim your promise that indeed your word will be to us lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, what a wonderful day to be here. And on this Mother's Day, and then on this special day, when the induction of Kathleen and the setting her apart for the unique and special ministry that she will be part of. And how we thank God for that. I've had the opportunity of getting to know her a little bit on the Thursday mornings, which is just another one of the wonderful things that go on. You know, who wouldn't want to be part of ACPC? I was thinking when I knew the ingredients that were going to make up this service this morning, looking back on my years in ministry, congregations, some a little bit smaller, some a lot larger than this, although they can bring extra problems when you've got that. But, you know, there's never been a community, and I've now been a part of this worshipping community for, this is my sixth year, there's never been a church that I have had the privilege of pastoring that has had a more vibrant spirit within it than what is identified here. And I say that quite sincerely and with some years of background experience in church ministry. It's just wonderful to see. And that's why this morning, the theme of our message is that we, you and I, are a people belonging to God. Belonging to God. On Sunday, the 23rd of April, we were at the first Sunday of the season of Easter. You'll remember leading to the 50 days to Pentecost. This morning, as we worship together, we're at the fifth Sunday of the season of Easter in the church liturgical year. The opportunity, therefore, that I took on that first Sunday, you might remember, we looked at the passage from John chapter 21, where on three occasions Jesus specifically, as he broke in to the disciples huddled together at the evening of that resurrection day. Remember, Mary and a couple of the disciples had been to the tomb in the morning. Jesus broke in amongst those disciples huddled together, and he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The ultimate shalom. Peace be with you. And then he said it twice, but Timothy wasn't with the, Thomas wasn't with the disciples initially. And so Thomas, when he heard about this, he doubted, and we know the story. And then when finally Jesus breaks in again, as the disciples are gathered together with Thomas, and his opening words are, "Peace be with you." And so this morning, in this important season, we've been privileged in the last two Sundays that we had the Reverend Dr. Mark Johnson and then our own Reverend Dr. Stewart leading us into the majesty and the wonder of those 40 days from the resurrection to the ascension, and helping us to try and capture some of what Scripture reveals about the interactions that the risen Lord in his risen glorified state was able to move amongst not only the disciples, those who knew him, but also new people were able to see him and speak of the reality that indeed he is risen. And so over this period of weeks, we've considered together as a Christian community the reality, therefore, of God breaking into human history in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have knelt at the cross and opened our hearts in praise and thanksgiving for the reality of Easter Sunday and the empty tomb and the resurrected Jesus. And this morning then, as we lead up to Pentecost, because I believed in my heart, and as what has happened, we've had over these last two Sundays so beautifully presented and covered for us some of the material that the Scriptures give us about that period of Jesus' interaction, today I want to turn our thoughts to a circular letter written from Rome around about AD 64. It was intended to encourage the young Christian communities in the various cities where both Paul and Peter himself, Peter, of course, the writer of the passage that Michelle read to us this morning, where Peter himself had been instrumental in establishing the Christian faith. Peter, as he wrote, was very conscious that these young and developing communities of believers were not going to find it easy to grow in their faith and belief without a strong foundation and a conviction for that belief. There was opposition from Jewish leaders and from the non-Jews who were committed to Greek and Roman gods and idols. Added to that, in the first years of the Christian church, as we know it today, as it was becoming into being in its fledgling years, there were already some who taught false doctrines, doctrines that were false and distortions of the reality of what those early believers had discovered for themselves through faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And as those this morning who adhere to the mainstream doctrines of the Christian faith, we are aware of false teaching and distortions of the gospel around us today, along, sadly, with so much apathy and rejection of the path of faith from within the general population around us. And so Peter takes up his pen and writes words of encouragement to these early believers. And in the passage that was read, he uses the illustration of a stone. He quotes here from verses from Psalms and from Isaiah. And Michelle read that passage from the Psalms, where again we think about the wonderful symbolism that God is saying through the psalmist. He's trying to get him to understand that I will be to you a rock, a foundation. And those of you in the congregation who know anything about building a new home know the importance of getting the foundations right and the laying of the foundation stone and moving on from there. And so it is that Peter is saying, he's reminding his readers about what Scripture says to them. The Jews would have been familiar, the Jews who had come to believe that this Galilean preacher was none but the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. For them, this passage and these words would be known. For others, for those who had come into the church from that area we call Asia Minor today, they would perhaps not have been known. And so Peter is anxious that they should understand from the Scriptures that right from the very beginning, God was wanting to reveal himself as a foundation on which people can build their life. And so he turns to those verses from Isaiah and the Psalms that are read for us this morning. And David refers to his relationship as understanding of God as being a rock of refuge, a rock of refuge. We have that wonderful old hymn. We're not going to sing it this morning, but that talked about he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock of refuge. David goes on to say, though, with deep conviction, because of his belief and his understanding that a relationship with God will give his life stability and meaning, and not just for him, but for the people that he is leading, the people of Israel, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Can you and I say that with conviction this morning? That all that we are and all that we hope to be is anchored firmly on the rock of a conviction in God, and therefore we commit our lives to live in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Another hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Can you and I say that with conviction this morning? Interestingly, when we think that this letter was written around about 64 AD, scholars tend to agree, Peter, by the time of writing, is sending this circular letter to churches where the majority of believers had not seen or heard Jesus through his earthly ministry. Any who had been perhaps 20 years old when Jesus was conducting his ministry and teaching, and then the lead up to the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension, would now be in their 80s. So largely, Peter is anxious and convicted by the Holy Spirit to set out clearly just what it meant to now be able to be called a people belonging to God. And he adds that this is possible because they have received mercy. The mercy that began at the cross. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul, there our burdened souls found liberty at Calvary. And so this group of people, this mishmash of people from different nations, along with some who'd been brought up as Jews but had realized that this wandering itinerant preacher from Nazareth, the one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, not the way the Jewish leadership wanted someone, they wanted someone to ride in on a white charger and overthrow the Roman yoke that was oppressing them. But no, Jesus came and rode on a donkey. He taught and he preached, and then he bled and died. And then he triumphed over that death and rose again. And it's this kind of group that have formed the basis of what was known as the Christian church, the early believers, the Christ ones. And so Peter is saying to them, you are a people that belong now to God. Get excited about it. You are a people belonging to God. And this is possible because of the mercy that was meted out to you through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's another hymn writer of old has put it, put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters, who calmed the sea. If you do that, you look at life differently if you put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You see, these early believers had seen this man from Galilee as not one among a number of itinerant preachers around at that time, but as indeed the Messiah of promise, indeed the Son of God. And so these early believers in a largely hostile world had done just that. They had put their hand into the hand of this man from Galilee. For them, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. For them, the Jesus that they had learned about was accepted in their hearts and minds as the Son of God. They understood that in simple faith and trust, this made possible a personal relationship with God, and all that had previously separated them from such a relationship had been nailed to a Roman cross and had triumphed in an empty tomb. And so I believe these words come down to us this morning, as among those who believe, because of our faith and belief. Are we to be found a people belonging to God? I thank God that here at ACPC we find a vital and living example through the Cantonese and the English ministries, and now through the exploratory the things that are going to take place, that perhaps there can be a revival of what was once before a Mandarin ministry here, through, and Kathleen is going to play an important part as God leads her and guides her in that. That we have the opportunity through our home groups, through the weekday activities, through the wonderful ministry of the music team. I want to thank God for the young people and the young adults And I include Ken as a young adult because compared to me, he's a young adult. And our techno guys. I want to thank God for the contribution that you make to the worship, to the wonderful opportunities. Those of us who have the privilege of being at the tea and talk on Thursday morning, it's just such a blessed time, Stuart, isn't it? To see these older Chinese folk. And they're just grappling with simple words, and we try to give them enough information that will help them with enough English to help them with their shopping and help them in the things of daily life, going and getting a bus if they want to go to Newmarket or somewhere. And so all these things, and then tomorrow night at Glenda's is going to be a prayer meeting. How important that this church finds itself in prayer. There's so much to be prayed for at the moment. The work of the parish council, there's so many decisions that need to be made in relation to perhaps more effective use of this wonderful property that we have here in this location in Vincent Street. And then the Ministry Settlement Board, as they prayerfully consider the one who I'm sure you believe with me, God has already put his seal on, who will come to lead our English ministry here at ACPC. And so we definitely can be excited about being a people belonging to God. And I want to thank and acknowledge each and every one who contributes in such a way, the Sunday school teachers, the youth group leaders, all who contribute. My prayer today, and the prayer of many gathered here, is that if there is someone in this service or someone who might listen to what I'm saying through the putting of the sermon on our website, and you are not yet sure how you stand in relation to faith in Jesus Christ, that today could be a day that could change your life forever. Today could be a day that could change your life forever. There are those here this morning who would simply rejoice to share with you what their relationship with God through Jesus Christ means to them and guide you to a point of decision. We're going to now consider someone else who came to a point of decision, because I'm closing my message in a very different way than I had when I first started to prayerfully pray over it and prepare. Can you put up the PowerPoint slide, please, Rob? Leading up to last weekend, a few of us took the opportunity of seeing a most remarkable film, a most incredible and challenging film. For many of us, we've grown up in a family of faith, but there are many who haven't, who come to Christ in different ways. How we thank God for that, that the church is growing and people are responding to the message of the gospel. And so it was just the most wonderful experience to be with. I shared with members of the Tuesday night Bible study group, and some others were also there on Thursday night. And we saw the film based on the life of Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ, a militant atheist, convinced that it was all just hocus pocus and amounted to nothing, and that there was no God, and spent considerable his time and resources to seek to prove this. In the meanwhile, his wife became wonderfully converted. Someone remember verse 26? The importance of that verse from the film? Marty remembers. Someone, why was that verse important? That was the verse, thank you, that was the verse that the wife prayed for months and months. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you, and remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And day after day, Lee Strobel's wife prayed this prayer while he was out, unbeknownst to her, because he didn't reveal it to her until the day where he knelt down and accepted Christ as his personal Saviour. But he had been doing all sorts of things to disprove every aspect of the Christian faith. One by one he found it was impossible. One by one he found that God alone was real, that Jesus Christ was real, and that through Jesus Christ he could know God, and God wanted to know him, and God was interested in him and wanted him to do things with his life that were beyond anything that he could have planned for himself. And so this was the passage. This was taken from, some of you will remember that the children of Israel, the kingdom was divided. It had fallen so far short of God's plan. There was Israel and Judah. In 721, the first deportation of the northern kingdom of Israel went off with the Assyrians. And then round about 586, the Babylonians decided they'd have a bit of a go. And so they took off a lot of people from Judah. And then there were other smaller deportations. And then it was some 70 years until the Persians overthrew the Babylonians. The Cyrus cylinder, Cyrus was used as an instrument of God. And some of you have been to the museum in London where you can see the Cyrus cylinder, where the edict was written that the Jews were to be allowed to return home. And so it was that this from Ezekiel, this is the promise that God had given to the prophet Ezekiel to give to the people. I wonder if we can read it together. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Can we take that as our promise into the week ahead? That we want to be the kind of people that will open up our heart, that we have a foundation that we can build a life on, but there might be something in us that's a roadblock, that's a stone, that's a boulder, some attitude, some behaviour, some pattern of thought or belief or whatever that's turning us away from God's very best for us. Can we this morning resolve that indeed we want to be firmly committed within this fellowship to be indeed found among the people who belong to God? I thought when we came to the end of this message that there was only one hymn that really was the one that fitted in. The Church's One Foundation, written by Samuel John Stone in response to, back in the 1860s, in response to a Episcopalian bishop in South Africa who was starting to question some of the tenets of the Westminster Confession, the basic ideas and the building blocks of our faith, believing in the scriptures, in God, in Jesus being truly properly man, truly and properly God, and so on. And then the one that talks about, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and using Catholic in its proper sense, universal. I believe in the universal church. And this good bishop in South Africa had his doubts about that. And so the church removed him from his position. And Samuel Stone decided that it was a good thing if the Westminster Confession articles of faith were put into music. And so he wrote a hymn for each one. And this one that we're going to sing this morning, and I'm grateful for the music group are going to lead us in that, the Church's One Foundation is in relation to that article of faith which says, I believe in the Holy Catholic, the Holy Universal Church, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so this morning, as we sing this wonderful old hymn, let us recommit ourselves afresh to the purposes of God for us here at ACPC. And again, if there's one this morning and you're really not sure that you really have this relationship with Christ, I pray that for you this morning, today can be a day, a whole new beginning and a new start, a day that you will never regret. May God bless you each one.